If you're currently trying to conceive and you're wondering how exercise fits into this journey, or maybe you've already asked your doctor and they've been pretty vague about it, and maybe you've also found that there is just so much conflicting advice on the internet, then this episode is for you. Today, I'm discussing the five types of exercise that you should avoid when you're trying to conceive so that you have an idea of what you actually should be doing in order to support your body and increase your chances of falling pregnant. That is all coming up on today's episode of Your Journey to Fertility. Welcome to Your Journey to Fertility. This is the podcast that blends science with spirit to give you all the tools you need as you navigate your fertility journey. I'm your host, Jennifer Edmonds, and for the last 15 years, I've been helping women on their journeys to motherhood and beyond. I believe that combining the latest scientific research along with the best energetic and mindset practices will help you to avoid putting your life on hold and bring you closer to your baby. Each week, you'll learn ways to support your fertility and trust your body so that you can stop stressing that you'll never have your baby and finally walk your path to motherhood. This is the Your Journey to Fertility podcast. Welcome back to Your Journey to Fertility. Now, today's topic is one I probably get asked about the most, especially on social media. And anytime I put up a post about, you know, different exercises that I think people should be engaging in and those that they should perhaps be avoiding while they're trying to conceive, I get so many questions. So today's episode is about answering a lot of those questions. And for those who may have not followed me for that long, I just want to give you a little bit of background. So I trained initially as a clinical Pilates instructor back in 2009, and I am also a certified personal trainer as well as a yoga teacher and amongst many other things as well. But in terms of an exercise-focused background, it's something that I have been studying and working within for a really long time. And when I was going through my own fertility journey, I found that, you know, this topic of exercise was a really hard one to get good information about, especially from my doctor. There's sort of this rhetoric that, you know, oh, let's just take it easy, go for a walk, you know, you make sure you don't overly stress your body, you know, avoid going hard at the gym. But, you know, that's not very helpful advice, because people who are struggling to conceive for months or years at a time, going for a walk isn't really ideal for your health. It's not enough for a lot of people, and it doesn't really give you all of the things that different types of exercise give you. So I made it my mission to learn as much as I could about hormonal health, about women's cyclical health, and what your cycle and your body and your hormone levels need at each phase of your cycle. And I think the topic of exercise around IVF and other fertility treatments is another topic for another day. That's probably an episode in itself. So today we're going to be really focusing on those who are trying to conceive at home. Maybe they've been on this path for months, years by now, or maybe you are working up towards a medicated cycle or a round of IVF. So we're going to start with probably the most controversial one. Number one is hot yoga. Now, I get a lot of questions about this. Personally, I love hot yoga. I think that there are so many benefits, but when you are trying to conceive, hot yoga is not your best friend. There are so many reasons for this. So the first is that a heated room is inherently stressful on your body. And not only that, but the classes are usually 60 minutes at a time. If you're going to a Bikram class, that is 90 minutes. And it is high intensity training on your body in a heated room for a long period of time. And there is some argument to say that, you know, this kind of controlled stress on your system is something to do within your follicular phase or your ovulatory phase, but it is so much stress on your body. And is it the best choice when you are struggling with fertility? As I have talked about on previous episodes, What we're really dealing with as we're struggling with infertility is often a huge surge of cortisol and adrenaline levels throughout the body, throughout the day. And these are your stress hormones. So why would we be choosing a form of exercise that increases the amount of stress hormones that your body is going to pump out? And yes, you're choosing to be there, and yes, you may enjoy it, but your body doesn't really understand that. It just knows that it is responding to a stressful situation. Now, the other thing to mention about hot yoga, and this is so important, is that it should be absolutely avoided during the 2-week wait. And there is a lot of research that connects the raise in your core body temperature from things like hot baths, hot saunas, and really hot environments, and the increased risk of neural tube defects and miscarriage. And so that's why a lot of doctors will tell you to avoid laying in hot baths for long periods of time while you're pregnant and avoiding going in saunas. Hot yoga is similar in that regard. You're in a hot room for a really long period of time doing hard exercise, which increases your core body temperature even more. So I hope that I've given you enough information around hot yoga. And look, if it is your most absolute favorite form of exercise in the world and you can't possibly give it up, please stick to it within the earlier stages of your cycle, not during your period, but once that's finished, and make sure you're reducing the frequency. So instead of going 3 times a week, can you go once? See if that makes a difference to your overall stress levels. Number two, again, a slightly controversial one. Actually, I think all of these are potentially controversial, and I'm going to get a lot of questions about it. So the second one is running, and especially during the 2-week wait. Now, similarly to what I was saying about hot yoga, there is some argument that running earlier in your cycle is a great form of exercise. And I think that in short bursts and perhaps not every day, there is some argument for this. But running in a 2-week wait poses some other issues. It increases that downward pressure on your pelvic floor. That repetitive, high impact movement on your body has a really big impact on the stability of the pelvic floor muscles. Now, if you are pregnant within that 2-week wait, your body is gearing up to do the most difficult job that it has ever done, and that takes a huge amount of energy. The muscles around the pelvis, and especially your uterus, which is a muscle as well, are already starting to change. The hormone levels are making all sorts of adjustments down towards your pelvis. So being able to soften this area around the lower abdomen and being able to just find some supportive movements that don't increase that repetitive downward strain are going to be much, much more effective. I'm also not a big fan of running because, again, people tend to not just go for a 20-minute run, but it's something that they do, say, 10Ks a day. And I know that running is one of the best forms of exercise. I mean, it's free. You can do it anywhere. It releases so many endorphins, which make you feel great. But again, if we are running long distances regularly, that is a stress on your body. And like I said before, your nervous system, your brain doesn't really understand the difference between stress that you're choosing and stress that is happening to you involuntarily. So number three is consistent HIIT workouts. So this is things like, you know, there are so many forms of high intensity interval training these days. Things like F45 and spin classes and anything where you are cramming in as many repetitions of an exercise or a movement within a short amount of time, aiming to get your heart rate up as high as possible over and over again within a 45 to an hour period. Again, this is one of those forms of exercise that is incredibly stressful on your body. Now, we don't need to avoid stress altogether. And from an exercise science perspective, stress in the form of increased weight load, increased cardiovascular strength, is a great thing for your body's capabilities, and it makes you stronger, it makes you faster, and over time you build up that strength and ability. But when we're trying to conceive, we are dealing with so many other stresses that we have never been able to prepare for before. So adding to that stress load is just adding to an already over full bucket of water. So, you know, there is a lot of argument to say that this is something that you do again in the follicular phase or your ovulatory phase. But again, I would be reducing the intensity, perhaps the duration. Can you not push yourself quite as hard as you normally would? And let's scale back the frequency. So instead of going every day, can we go twice a week? And can we mix that up with doing, say, some more gentle weight training? Can we do shorter high intensity interval workouts? Can we mix it up with things like yoga and Pilates and swimming and other forms of exercise that tend to be a little more gentle on your system? Number four is exercise during your period. I get a lot of pushback on this one as well. So I'm going to tell you the science of what happens during your period, and you can then choose what you want to do, but here's how it works. During your bleed, your hormone levels and your energy levels are at their lowest, the lowest point that they will be in the whole month. And you can check that on blood tests. That is not something that I am pretending that I know. It is just a fact. And your uterus, like I mentioned earlier, it's also a muscle, and it takes a huge amount of work for this muscle to shed the lining of the previous month's cycle. So you're already at the lowest point in terms of energy levels. Your hormone levels are as low as they're going to be. Why would we then push ourselves to exercise during this time? And I found when I first started learning about women's cycles and trying to sync exercise and lifestyle in line with your cycle, it really went against everything that I had learned, especially as a teenager and growing up. I mean, you just have to take a look at any tampon commercial to know that the whole idea is that you just, you know, whack on a pad or put in a tampon, take some pain relief, and you get on with your day. You push through it. But really, how many favors has that done us? And so when I started learning about this and I thought, okay, how do I feel when I have my period? And the more I started to lean into that and listen to my body, I realized that when I just took a moment to see how my body was feeling, I was pretty exhausted already. And I found that leaning into rest when you are bleeding, and you know, if you have a 5 or 6 day bleed, I'm not talking about every single day, but the first 2 or 3 days, especially when that bleed is at its heaviest, sleep in, skip the gym, find an opportunity throughout the day to take 10 minutes, sit down, read a book, you know, as opposed to rushing around to various social engagements throughout your evening or on your weekend. Can you start to scale back what you commit to during your period? And when you can do this, and when you can support that low level of your hormones at this time, it sets you up for a much better month ahead, a much more balanced month ahead. And I find with most of my students that when they start doing this, things like their libido increases, they have more energy around ovulation, which is exactly what we want. And again, if you are pushing yourself on those days where you really don't have a lot of energy, this is another way that you're going to increase that stress load and the release of stress hormones on your system. And that's going to have an impact on the rest of your cycle as well. All right, last but not least, number five, I like my students to avoid intense core exercises in the 2 week wait. And again, maybe a controversial one, and you can ask me any questions that you like about any of these anytime you want. But as I was saying with running, if you are pregnant in the 2-week wait, this is a time to start encouraging blood flow, circulation, and support of the reproductive organs in the pelvis. If we are doing lots of intense core exercises and we are constricting the abdomen, we're holding that tension, that isn't what we're trying to achieve in the 2-week wait. So I would never tell you to avoid exercise altogether, but you know, if you are going to a Pilates class, can you just ease off on the core exercises during the class and just start to focus on deep breaths, really moving through positions when you are doing exercise in the 2-week wait, you know, holding planks for long periods of time, being in a round back position, a really contracted, full flexed position of the spine, and then holding a weight and twisting from side to side. I mean, all of these things really constrict that and hold that tension in the abdomen, which is what we are trying to avoid. So I hope this episode has answered a few of your questions around exercise to avoid while you're trying to conceive. Now, if you would like to learn more about what exercise is great for each phase of your cycle and what you should be doing, how can you support optimal hormone levels at each stage, and what should we be doing in the lead up to a medicated cycle or a round of IVF? Well, first of all, I would encourage you to download my free fertility yoga guide, which just goes through some gentle sequences for each phase of your cycle. But if you want to go a little bit deeper into your practice and really get into this idea of working with your cycle and learning about your body and what you should be doing to support that at every stage, then the doors to my In Your Element Fertility Yoga program are opening at the end of May. Now, prior to this course opening, we are running a 3-day live event, which you can join. This is completely free. It goes through so many beautiful practices that can support you on your journey of trying to conceive. I'll teach you a little bit about your nervous system and how this idea of coming into regulation can really support fertility. I get a bit geeky into the science of a few things as well. And then we have some incredible yoga flows and some breathwork practices and some guided meditations. If all of that sounds like something that would support your fertility, I will leave a link down in the show notes for you to pop your name on the wait list. It is my signature program. I only open the doors once per year. I'd like to keep the intake group quite small because it is quite a personalized program and I like to be able to give everyone as much attention as possible. Now, if you found this episode helpful today, be sure to tag me in your stories on social media, leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. That would be so wonderful. It will help me to get this message out to as many people as possible. Now, on the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to go a little bit geeky and a little bit deeper into the science of stress and how does stress negatively affect your fertility. If you are feeling all of the overwhelm, the anxiety that comes with trying to conceive for months and years at a time, this is the episode that you're not going to want to miss. And I will offer a few different tools and support tips to help you through that. So until then, sending you all my wishes on your journey to fertility.